Tens of millions of people go to the polls each year to vote for the candidate of their choice. Sometimes it's for a candidate, other times it's a vote against the other fellow. We've all heard the slogans, vote for so-and-so, for a brighter future. He's a candidate you can trust. Just believe. Yes, we can. Build back better. It's a time for change. We can do better. It's human nature to desire to make your voice heard, and democracy in one form or another is ingrained in us from an early age. Some candidates are elected to keep the country out of war, yet often end up in war. Whether it's a country ruled by a king, a dictator, or an elected official, events outside of their control often define their rule. The United States is a democratic republic where citizens cherish their voice in choosing their leaders. On November 19, 1863, former United States President Abraham Lincoln spoke these famous words in the aftermath of the American Civil War battle at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. "It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from the earth." Yes, government of the people, by the people, for the people is taken for granted as the way government should be. And although other nations may not use the same words, government by the people is in the hearts of many. But is there a better way? Not only is there a better way, that better way is just around the corner. Stay tuned. A warm welcome to all of you from all of us here at Tomorrow's World, where today I'm going to show you from the Bible that there is a better way than government of the people and by the people. I'll also be offering you a free resource that explains the nature and the source of that government. So have writing material available so you can order our easy-to-read booklet, Do You Believe the True Gospel? Have you realized, dear friends, that the gospel, that is the good news that Jesus Christ proclaimed for 3.5 years prior to his crucifixion, is a message about a new government to come? Why isn't that biblical message being taught in churches today? To understand, we need the big picture. Mankind's chaotic attempts to govern himself began in the Garden of Eden. God placed in that paradise two trees with great symbolic meaning. One tree symbolized man looking to God to define the way to live, to determine right and wrong. And if he chose that tree, it would lead to life. The other tree symbolized man setting himself up as God to determine for himself right and wrong. So what do those trees have to do with this subject? Everything. When I graduated from Ambassador College in 1969, our yearbook wrote of the results of man's attempts to build a world apart from God. It labeled education as, quote, the mother which spawned the scientists, captains of industry and business, politicians and rulers, leaders in modern society, and the theologians, end of quote. But what are the results of humanity's mother, its system of education? It's a sick, chaotic world of violence. On the subject of government, the envoy explains, the modern world has produced three more or less new forms of government. Each promises peace, happiness, and prosperity for its people. United States and British type democracy, Swedish and French type modern socialism, and atheistic communism. All three are predicated on the theory that every individual has the right to share in the results of science, industry, and the modern life. All three are based on a system of industry and diffusion of education. But what do we actually find? We find some heads of state sincerely seeking peace and the betterment of their peoples. But none is bringing peace because none knows the way to peace. But all too often we find also the opposite. We find selfish, greedy men of excessive vanity, ambitious in their lust for rule, scheming to get their hands on the throttle of power for personal aggrandizement and monetary gain. We find graft, immorality, deception, dishonesty running rampant in high places. Governments promise peace, but bring wars. There is no doubt that some leaders are better than others, but none truly bring a lasting solution to mankind's problems. The solution to humanity's problems can never be found in man's governments. It must be found in the neglected word of God. Adam chose the wrong tree, and mankind has followed his example ever since. But as we read in Genesis, Adam and his wife Eve were influenced by a deceptive and persuasive spirit being. He's no mythical figure. He's the God of this world. Now, does that surprise you, dear friends? Jesus referred to him as such three times on the night in which he was betrayed. For example, he said in John, the 12th chapter, in verse 31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." Then in John 14, verse 30, Jesus said, "I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me." While not mentioning Satan or the devil by name, Jesus' reference is clear. And the Apostle Paul also refers to Satan as the god of this age in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and verses 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And how can we neglect this powerful statement on who it is that directs the course of this world? Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 and 2. "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Yes, it is Satan the devil who directs the course of our world. And that means our approach towards science, business, entertainment, government, and yes, even religion and theologians. And this includes professing Christianity. For as we read in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and verse 4, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." And in case this is not plain enough, Paul continues in verses 14 and 15. "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." This understanding of who the God of this age is, who directs the course of this world, explains what we see around us. It explains the confusion, the hatred, the degeneracy, the selfishness and greed, and the endless wars. But the Bible gives us hope. The gospel of Jesus Christ is far more than about his death, burial, and resurrection. Yes, that is important, but he came with a message of hope for this troubled world that goes far beyond what you hear in Sunday morning sermons. He brought a message about a soon coming government to replace the current God of this age. To learn more about the exciting message Jesus was sent to give, a message extensively explained in Scripture after Scripture, order our free resource, "Do You Believe the True Gospel?" Frankly, dear friends, you will be shocked to learn how deceived you may have been about the message Jesus proclaimed. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is the most exciting message ever given to humanity. And the good thing is that you can open your Bible and prove these things for yourself. It's all there in your Bible. And this resource will point out many of the plain, easy to understand passages of Scripture that spell it out. So order your free copy of "Do You Believe the True Gospel?"
For today's free offer, Call 1-800-236-0531. Or go to twtv.org/gospel. This clear and straightforward resource will help you understand this vital truth straight from the pages of the Bible. If you're calling for the first time, you will also receive a free annual subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, 6 inspiring issues discussing news, science, and modern culture will help you make sense of your world from a biblical perspective. Call today and join millions around the world who are turning to Tomorrow's World for truth, prophecy, and hope in these confusing times. Call now or go to twtv.org/gospel.
Let's be honest with ourselves. Our world is in a mess. It's in trouble. We have regional wars in Europe and the Middle East, either of which can explode into World War III. I could go on about the truly existential threats in our world, but we hear plenty of that, and we see it all around us. However, the message that Jesus proclaimed was that of good news. Yes, he did speak of some very bad news just prior to his return. He said it will get so bad that unless he returns to stop our madness, all flesh would be destroyed. Here it is in his famous Olivet prophecy, Matthew the 24th chapter, beginning in verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. The good news is that he will intervene to save us from ourselves. And the overwhelming focus of Jesus' message was one of hope, the good news of his coming kingdom. Most of his ministry focused on the kingdom of God. It was only toward the end of his ministry that he spoke of his death and resurrection. This fact is shown in our free resource, Do You Believe the True Gospel? Now, don't believe me just because I say it. Prove it for yourself out of the pages of your own Bible. Do You Believe the True Gospel will help you do so. Do you realize the expression Kingdom of God is mentioned 70 times in the New Testament? And Matthew uses the expression Kingdom of Heaven 33 additional times. There are other references to the Gospel of the Kingdom, or simply the Kingdom. Should we not take notice of something referred to over 100 times by Jesus and the apostles? We'll look at what Jesus meant by the kingdom message, but first let's show what he didn't mean. As explained in a previous program about the gospel that Jesus Christ proclaimed, I stated the following. In the Sermon on the Mount, considered to be at the heart of Jesus' message to mankind, we find what are called the Beatitudes or Beautiful Attitudes. We read in Matthew the 5th chapter and verse 3, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now many assume this means that we go to heaven. But two verses later in verse 5 we read the following, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now this presents a problem. Do the poor in spirit, verse 3, go to heaven, while the meek, verse 5, inherit the earth? Which is it, heaven or earth? The answer lies with the question of what does the expression kingdom of heaven mean? Matthew uses this expression most of the time, but he also uses, as we see in chapter 6 and verse 33, the expression kingdom of God. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We also find Matthew uses the two, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, interchangeably. Here it is in chapter 19 and verses 23 and 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, interestingly, the other gospel writers, Mark, Luke, and John, never, not even once, use the expression kingdom of heaven. They consistently use only kingdom of God. And in the original Greek from which the New Testament is translated, the words heaven and God are very different. They cannot be confused. So when Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," and followed two verses later with, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," we must take a closer look at the meaning of the expressions kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. What is the difference, if any, between the two, and what relationship does this have with where the saved go after death? Let me answer that with these simple questions. Does the expression kingdom of God mean that the kingdom is in God? Or does the expression show ownership of the kingdom, God's kingdom? Yes, it is God's kingdom, not a kingdom in God. Kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are interchangeable, and they denote ownership, not location. The kingdom of God is the most exciting message ever given. It's about a world-ruling government to come. People become most excited about voting into office a new knight in shining armor who will save us from all of our problems. But they fail to see the one and only solution to humanity's difficulties. Professing Christians talk about Jesus. They celebrate his birth and throw about the term gospel. But precious few have any understanding of the message Jesus proclaimed for 3.5 years prior to his crucifixion and resurrection. Do you, dear friends? Don't be too sure. Our resource, Do You Believe the True Gospel, takes you through the Bible and demonstrates what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. If you consider yourself a Christian, would you not want to be certain of what that gospel is? After all, Paul pronounced a curse on anyone preaching a different gospel. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. That's from Galatians 1, verses 6 through 8. And they're strong words. I personally fear to teach any other gospel than the one that Jesus Christ proclaimed. And I hope that you feel the same way. That's why we are offering this free resource, Do You Believe the True Gospel? You don't need to guess, and you should not follow anyone blindly. So order your free copy of Do You Believe the True Gospel and do it today. Be sure to read it and look up the scriptures. Prove it for yourself.
This clear and straightforward resource will help you understand this vital truth straight from the pages of the Bible. Call now or go to twtv.org/gospel.
Hope springs eternal for those who are looking for the next politician who can bring peace and prosperity to all his citizens. For sure, some men or women do a better job than others in positions of rulership. But the overall track record of government of the people and by the people leaves many disappointed. Now, don't misunderstand. Sir Winston Churchill was not far from the truth when he said, "Many forms of government have been tried and will be tried in this world of sin and woe. No one pretends that democracy is perfect or all-wise. Indeed, it has been said that democracy is the worst form of government except for all those other forms that have been tried from time to time. But is there a better way? Are we left to our own devices in selecting the next great hope? And we must ask, is it the majority who really selects our leaders? As we've seen in an earlier portion of this program, there's a powerful spirit being who directs the course of this world. Noted again in Ephesians, the second chapter, and verses 1 and 2. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." However, we must also recognize that God raises up and removes rulers in order to carry out His purposes. Do we really think that we can outvote God? Daniel 2, verses 20 and 21. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He removes kings and raises up kings." Jesus Christ offers us a better way than government of the people and by the people. The kingdom of God is the government of God, as we see from Daniel, the 7th chapter. This chapter begins by describing four world-ruling kingdoms as wild beasts. Notice the explanation given to Daniel regarding these four beasts in verses 17 and 18. "Those great beasts which are four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." These same four kingdoms, king and kingdom are used interchangeably in the Bible, by the way, are referred to in Daniel, the 2nd chapter, where Nebuchadnezzar saw a giant image of a man in a most vivid dream. Daniel was called to explain the dream. Notice his interpretation. "You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. Then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. That kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others." These four kingdoms are the same as the four beasts described in Daniel 7. And in both cases, the fourth kingdom continues in one form or another until the coming of the Messiah, who will crush that kingdom and give rulership over to a very different kind of people. Notice the explanation of the conclusion of Nebuchadnezzar's dream beginning in verse 41. "Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." What does all this have to do with you? And what does it have to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'll answer these questions in the conclusion of today's program, but I want to remind you of our resource, Do You Believe the True Gospel?, which explains all of this in greater detail. And the good thing is that you can open your Bible and prove these things for yourself. No, the gospel is not about just believe in Jesus, and after a life of cramming all the fun you can into it, you die and go off to a celestial retirement. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is the most exciting message ever given to humanity. But the God of this world has blinded the eyes of professing Christians. As it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 3 and 4, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." So pick up the phone and order your free copy of Do You Believe the True Gospel? And do it today. And when I come back, I'll explain why this should be important to you.
For today's free offer, call 1-800-236-0531. Or go to twtv.org/gospel. This clear and straightforward resource will help you understand this vital truth straight from the pages of the Bible. If you're calling for the first time, you will also receive a free annual subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, 6 inspiring issues discussing news, science, and modern culture will help you make sense of your world from a biblical perspective. Call today and join millions around the world who are turning to Tomorrow's World for truth, prophecy, and hope in these confusing times. Call now or go to twtv.org/gospel.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important proclamation in the history of the world. But the minds of professing Christians have been blinded by the God of this age. Yet the Bible is full of this message. Note what Jesus said in Luke, the 4th chapter and verse 43. I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. So what does this have to do with you? Everything. In Jesus' parable of the minas, he describes a nobleman representing himself going into a far country, that is to heaven, to receive for himself a kingdom. We read of that coronation ceremony in Daniel, the 7th chapter, and verses 13 and 14. Now write that down and look it up. Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. Or you can order our free resource, Do You Believe the True Gospel?, where this and many other scriptures can be found. Prove it for yourself. Daniel 7, verse 27 goes on to make this profound statement. Then the kingdom and dominion, and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints or servants of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. When Jesus returns to earth, he will appoint those who will rule on earth, as we read in Christ's parable of the minas. Notice it in Luke, the 19th chapter. Then came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. No more politicking, no more government of the people and by the people. However, it will be government for the people, all people, and it will be fair, compassionate, and bring prosperity to all. This is the gospel Jesus brought, a message about a future government, a government that you can be part of. Just imagine, develop the character of Jesus Christ now and help bring peace and prosperity to all when he sets up his kingdom at his return. Don't be deceived by a false gospel. Prove and believe in the true gospel. It's mankind's last hope, humanity's only hope. There's far more to this subject than I've covered in this short program, so be sure to order your free copy of Do You Believe the True Gospel? And be sure to come back next week when Richard Ames, Wallace Smith, Rod McNair, and I explain the prophecies of the Bible, proclaim the good news of Christ's coming kingdom, and help you understand the world in which you live today. See you next time.
For today's free offer, call 1-800-236-0531. Or go to twtv.org/gospel. Call today and join millions around the world who are turning to tomorrow's world for truth, prophecy, and hope in these confusing times. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.